Welcome to Think Orphan, the podcast for orphan excellence. Real talk with real people navigating the global orphan crisis. Let's join our hosts, Phil Dark and Rick Morton.
All right, welcome again to the Think Orphan podcast. This is Rick Morton along with Phil Dark. Phil, how are things in California today, buddy?
They're going all right. They are going all right. It's not the sunny California like you hear about in all the movies and you watch and you see and everyone's talking about sunny California. It is a lot more like Seattle, which is interesting since that is where both of our guests are from. You like how I did that?
Wow.
Like
that how was I did nice. That, Rick? That was really nice.
So, yeah. I'm every so often I come up with things like that where it's just smooth. It's just smooth as butter. So, you know, in all seriousness.
And everybody saw my surprise because we really don't rehearse this. I know you find that hard to believe, folks, but it just kind of happens.
It just does. Exactly right. It just happens. So, you know, it is cold and rainy and just cloudy, and it is just like that up in Seattle too. And our guests actually are from Seattle. I wasn't kidding. Our two guests today are two of our former guests. And, you know, from the conversations I've had with people out there, they're two of our favorite guests, you know.
Yep.
And I think it's probably got a lot, you know, to do with the way that we interviewed them. I'm sure it had to do with a lot of that because that's usually what it is. But, you know, other than that, they are just two phenomenal women that are doing some incredible things. And so, Rick, I got a crazy thought now. Why don't you introduce one of them? And I'll introduce the other, and you can choose who you want to introduce.
Well, I mean,
so go for it.
You know, Karen Springs is one of my favorites, one of my favorite guests, and just one of my favorite people on the planet. And so we are privileged to have her back. She's the author of Adoption in the Rearview Mirror, or Adoption Through the Rearview Mirror. She's the communications lead for World Without Orphans and has extensive experience working in the orphan care world, particularly a lot of hands-on experience in Ukraine, but literally as somebody who is known around the world. And so we're excited to have Karen with us, and also
Ellie Oswald. So Ellie Oswald, and what you did mention about Karen, she's also she's a teacher by day now. She's
Absolutely.
Teaching at a school. So she's just a jack of all trades.
Multifaceted.
A Jill of all trades, excuse me. So, and we also have Ellie Oswald with us today. She is the executive director of Faith to Action, which I'm sure many of you listening right now know of Faith to Action. We've had so many other guests on the show talk about Faith to Action, because a lot of the resources they put out and some amazing things that they've done over the years. And what we're going to be talking about on this episode in particular is the Global Church Pledge, which Faith to Action and a lot of other organizations, including Providence World, which is mine, and I don't know if Lifeline has signed it yet, but a lot of organizations have signed. So we're going to talk more about that and just really what they've been up to since the last time they were on the show, which for Karen was not that long. So we get to talk with both of these ladies, and without more from Rick and I, because I'm sure you guys, now that you know who our guests are, you're sitting there going, can you guys just be quiet and get to Ellie and Karen? And so we're going to do that just with one more thing I'm going to say to you is, if you haven't already, subscribe to the podcast and definitely connect with us if you have any questions, if you have other guests you want to tell us about to get on this show, let us know. Give us drop us an email at info@thinkorphan.com. So without more from us, we're going to get to Ellie Oswald and Karen Springs. Hello, Karen and Ellie.
Hi.
Welcome.
Hello.
We are back at Think Orphan, you know, and this has been, for Karen, it hasn't been that long, you know. It's been, you know, a few months since we've talked to you about your awesome book that, you know, we've had a ton of feedback on that show, and it's been probably, you know, the similar feedback to what you're getting for the book, which was, it's phenomenal, and thank you for what you're doing and who you are, and I know we're all appreciative for it. So, Karen, thanks for coming back on the show with us.
Thank you, Phil. Thank you, Rick. It's my privilege, or pleasure, my pleasure to be here. Thank you.
That's all right. That's all right.
It's our privilege. Your pleasure. That's right.
I'm confused right now. So I'm just going to go to Ellie. So, Ellie, how are you doing?
I'm doing pretty pretty well, right? These days, pretty well is wonderful. So yeah, doing good.
Well, great. Well, you know, as Rick and I were talking about, you know, you ladies didn't get to hear what we were talking about, but it was probably 98% good stuff. About both of you now, we're introducing you guys, talking about the Global Church Pledges is what we get to talk about today. But before we get there, I just want to, you know, each of you to give a quick reminder, both of you who have been on the podcast, we're going to put those episodes that you've been on in the past. Karen, you've been on twice before, so you have now tied Peter Greer and Brandon Stiver as the guests who have been on the most on the Think Orphan podcast. So congratulations.
Wow.
You had no idea that was coming. So we don't really have any prizes for that, but if we did, it would be pretty awesome. And so, you know, I just want to hear just really just what you guys, who you guys are and why, you know, just really how people can get to know a little bit more about you guys.
Yeah. So I am serving as the communications lead at World Without Orphans, where I'm working alongside our global team to report on what's going on globally with our regional ambassadors and to share stories of encouragement and hope and try to communicate that out to our community and beyond. And as you said, I recently launched the book, Adoption Through the Rearview Mirror. So I've been trying to share that in the year of the pandemic when I can't go to conferences and share and the like, which I know has been a challenge for many in our space. But I guess the beautiful thing about writing is people can still read, even if they can't go anywhere. So maybe more people have been able to read because of that. So, and I've known Ellie for several years now, as she has worked alongside us with World Without Orphans, and I'll let her share about herself.
Yeah, I'm with Faith to Action. And as we talked about last time, really the focus of Faith to Action is to reach out to US Christians, but Christians all over the world, but specifically US Christians to try to educate and mobilize them to support best practices and care for kids, especially recognizing the importance of family in the life of a child. So in the middle of a pandemic, a lot of the normal ways that we connect with people are gone, but I'll say, I think it's been a really rough year. I mean, we all know that, but they're 2020 now, where I guess this will be showing in 2021. But there's been some really good things happening at Faith to Action. And I think in the family care movement in general, we're finding new ways to engage people, maybe reaching more, like with the book, maybe reaching more than we have in the past, definitely reaching more people than we have in the past. The depth of our engagement is harder, but, and we've been able to work with organizations who are transitioning, who are trying to figure out how to do better, maybe transitioning from more of a foundation in residential care and the orphanage model to more family-based care. Journeying with them as they kind of work through what that means for their organization. And we've done a lot of that. We had a cohort this fall with 100 organizations that were transitioning that went through our training and then got coaching and connected with other organizations that can help them through this transition. So a lot of really good things, but we're missing seeing each other face to face, and we're excited for a day when we can do that again.
Absolutely. And, you know, it's funny because you talk about the cohorts, you talk about the transitioning. And I just think of all the, as I said in the intro, there's so many of our former guests have used Faith Action and the amazing resources that Faith Action has. And just one of our recent guests, Spencer Reeves, with Child Hope International in Haiti and the transitions they're doing and talking about how much they've been working with you guys. And it's just so great. I mean, I know it's the shock to you to hear that I love hearing stories about collaboration and connection and hearing people that are actually doing what we're talking about, where it's let's get together and, you know, not think about what it's, you know, what we might get out of it or what this or what that, but just how can the care of these children around the world become, you know, more and more excellent and more what we know it's family based and to get children into the families. And so that's what I love seeing, you know, and I will say one more thing that I neglected to mention early on is this is the first time we've had four people on the show.
I was wondering about that.
It's pretty,
It's Hollywood amazing. Squares is growing. We're gonna host a conference at this thing pretty soon.
Let me take a step back just so people don't write in and tell me that I'm wrong. That we have had video conferences with more people, but not the actual episodes of the show. So on that note, I got a great sign the other day, and so you guys will appreciate this humor because you know me well enough, but it was that they gave it to me at a men's event recently at the church because they know me too, and it says, I may be wrong, but I doubt it. So that was something that's bonus coverage for you guys. Rick, now it's your turn.
And, you know, Phil's not wrong about the fact that we're really excited about having both of you and that this is a conversation that we've been eager to dig into. And so I guess probably the best place for us to start is really, like, let's just talk about the Global Church Pledge and kind of the, you know, the why behind that. And so, Ellie, if you could just kind of give us a little bit of background about what that is and then kind of begin to orient our listeners to, you know, how that intersects with their ministries possibly.
So yes, hopefully people are starting to hear about this Global Church Pledge. People have maybe been a part of it or starting to hear about it, but it's two sentences. It's nothing magical. I'll read them for you since we're going to be talking about it and might as well know what that is. The first sentence is, we believe God designed families as the best environment for children and young people to receive the love, belonging, and protection they need in order to flourish. So that's the first sentence. Mm-hmm. The second is, therefore, on behalf of vulnerable children around the world, we commit to support efforts which strengthen families, invest in family-based solutions, and combat the root causes of their vulnerability. So it's relatively simple, but it's comprehensive and it's positive. And I think it took a lot of work to get there, but I think it is those things.
Well, and it's one of those statements that when you read it and you see it, you know that like there's a conservation in every word. Like it's very intentional. And obviously a lot of people spend a lot of time to come to that agreement. Why? Like what's the driving force behind trying to have a simple statement like this that is so intentional that be something that we in the church adopt across the world?
Well, I mean, it's because the church is important and it plays a really vital role in any change in care reform, as we call it, in any improvement that is going to happen globally in care for children. It's vital for two reasons. One, because the church is the one providing care for children around the world. Just in the U.S., we actually are, by the time this podcast release, we'll have data out that we worked with Barna Group, who does all sorts of wonderful research. 3,000 Christians surveyed about their support for orphans and vulnerable children abroad. 31%, so about a third of all Christians in the U.S. have given money to residential care in the last 2 years. That's over 77.5 million people. And imagine that maybe they all gave $30 in the last 2 years, which is probably super duper low. That's over $2.3 billion. So Christians are so generous in the way that they're giving. On the ground, we know that Christians are serving children in so many ways, including orphanages. The local church is responding. So the church is there, and there are areas of improvement, of course. The second is Christians are also leading in, and they're the best suited to lead in the family care movement. Church and Christians are the ones who have been and continue to serve families. And Karen can talk story after story. She shares stories about World Without Orphaned partners who are doing incredible work to strengthen families. I worked for a church in Seattle, and when there was a family in our community that was in crisis, you know, a marriage was failing or there was a death or something, we were there. You know, we had a team meeting. We came together and say, what can we do to help the Joneses or whoever it was? The church is doing that every single day. There was another study that came out from Barna last year before the crisis that was looking at what pastors care about. And one of the number one things was they care about the families, the health of the families in their congregation. The church is at the ground level. They are the face-to-face, the real, the long-term sustainable family care mechanism. And they can provide emergency response to families. They can provide alternative care to kids that need it. So we're not us Christians aren't the only one. We're not the only ones that think we're important, though. Everyone involved in care reform knows that Christians and the church is a vital part of seeing any sort of change and improvement. So this pledge is just a tool to continue to help mobilize, to let people commit to family care, but also to invite new people into this work that we're all doing together.
I love it. I think that, you know, honoring and kind of almost coming from that theological side of things as well, to say that, organizations are going to come and go, and they're going to live and sometimes outlive their usefulness. But we have this promise that, right, the church is going to endure. Like, we're going to see the church generation after generation, and God's made that promise. And so I love the fact that you've gone straight to the church, and that this is a pledge and an initiative that's aimed at mobilizing the church. And so this is really, really exciting stuff. Phil?
Yeah, definitely. No, I think that you have and it's not just the U.S. church pledge, right? So, you know, I think that's kind of where the World Without Orphans is being a part of this. So many other organizations, right? I mean, can you just really quickly just share some of the organizations that people might recognize to show the breadth of this? I'm kind of putting you on the spot here. But I know at least some, to just show the breadth of it from small to big, you know, and just really all over the world.
I mean, is there at this point, we're just launching the pledge, just in January, launching the pledge. So it's not fully public, but over the last year, and I can talk a little bit more about the history, you know, people have been involved in it. And so we already have, I think it's like, 40 some organizations. So we're talking World Vision. We're talking the Chalmers Center, who wrote The When Helping Hurts. We're talking World Relief, obviously World Without Orphans, smaller organizations that are in countries, not just the Western international agencies, Bethany Global, Buckner, CAFO, a lot of people you've seen on or heard on this podcast. People understand it. That's what surprises me. I've been trying to help this move along with others in this facilitation team. And I keep thinking, if this isn't helpful, I don't need to spend my time doing it. But people keep responding and saying, you know, this could be really useful. This is useful. People are already using it. So the momentum is just building, and we're following it in some ways.
Yep. And that reminds me of the video that you sent me recently that, you know, as given our technology isn't probably, we're not at the level of some of the podcasts I've seen that integrate video, and it's really amazing how they do all that. But what we're going to do is put the link to the video, which then you can pretend that it's just seamlessly integrated into the video of our podcast, that it's actually really cool. There are, like you said, there are several guests we've had on the show that are on that, but it really is in the orphan care world, I like to say it's the star-studded orphan care world video. And it's a lot of people, if you've been doing this very long. I mean, Rick's not on it, but other than that, it's like the who's who of all orphan care-ness. But in all seriousness, though, the video is phenomenal. I mean, it's just a great 3-minute video that just really gives a quick, just here's what this global church pledge is about.
It captures that momentum. Yeah. Like, again, this is just two sentences. It's not a program. It's not an organization. It's not a campaign. It's just two sentences, and people hear it and they say, yeah, let's do this. I want to be a part of this. And since you've never done this before, can I ask Karen a question? Is that,
wow. I don't know.
New territory being right in front of us.
Actually,
being
the
made.
The first time I was on the podcast, Phil's like nodding his head because he knows I'm going to say this, but I actually co-hosted and was the guest. So I asked Phil questions very first time I was on the podcast. So I say, yes. Ellie, do what you
I
want.
Have said, hey, Karen, you're not the co-host this time. Stop it. But I will say that Karen is the pioneer of pioneers on this show. Like, when we want to pioneer, you could also say guinea pig, but it's pioneer is how the good, that's the good side of it. So yeah, go ahead, Ellie. Sure. What the heck? We have no idea, folks. You know, we say this is unscripted. Absolutely. Go for it. I have no idea what you're asking. This is like breaking every rule of podcasting.
No, just kidding. Go ahead.
As you put us in the waiting room, right?
Yes, exactly.
You guys are going to go to the waiting room. Karen, I think, so Faith to Action, like the thing is, this is so much bigger than Faith to Action or even World Without Orphans. And so, you know, one of the things we've tried to do is make sure that we are hearing from people to make sure it's as helpful as possible. So Faith to Action's perspective, I was a U.S. missions pastor. We work mostly with the U.S. church. It cannot be ran by me because that's my perspective only. So Karen, I'd love for you to, as in regards to the question that I was fielding on, you know, why do we need a pledge or why of the pledge? From your perspective, who you get to deal with the church around the globe every day, you know, what's the main why for
well,
you?
Well, I think, and you touched on this already, but like the beauty being in the simplicity of it and you saying, you know, it's not the program, it's not the organization. And I think when it comes to an area like orphan care, and we can all get into our lanes, you know, the lane of, well, we do family preservation, or we do adoption, or we do foster care, or we do intervention, prevention, and everyone gets in their lanes. And I think that sometimes, you know, we can lose sight of the overall goal. And I think so what's beautiful about this is like, let's bring it down to the simplest thing of what can we all come to the table and agree to, and then maybe from that table launch into our lanes. And I think that because there's no doubt that we do need the lanes that people are experts in and the people that can champion one maybe specific area. But I think sometimes what happens is we get all those people in a room and then everybody wants their thing to rise to the top. And so this is kind of the reverse of saying, let's all come around the table and say, you know, we believe that children, you know, belong in families. That was God's intention. And that we can say that strengthening families and investing in family-based solutions and combating root causes of vulnerability, that those three things, yes, we all agree. And now we can go off and do our things. And so I think from the World Without Orphans perspective, you know, we called people to that vision of a world without orphans. And a lot of that initial call, I think, was around foster care and adoption at the national level. It was, you know, let's find national solutions. But as we dug deeper and we're working with people on the ground, you know, we began to see where really there was a lot of need in prevention of how do you actually stop the funnel, right, of kids going into the system. And then, or if they're, you know, if once they're in, how do you then get them out? But how do you cut off that source? So I think that's, again, what's so beautiful about this is it's bringing something to the global church. And instead of starting with, hey, close your orphanage down, or hey, do this, it's, why don't we start a conversation around this? And if you agree with this, then what might God have for you next? So I've talked with Ellie a lot about this, as we really just see this is a conversation starter. Yes, it's like signing your name to say something, but it's something to bring people to the table to start the conversation about how to see kids in families safely and that mm-hmm. they're loving families.
So Karen, I'd love to follow that up and just say, for our listeners that are out there really around the world that are hearing this and maybe they're hearing about the pledge for the first time, how can they take steps to advocate? They, you know, say they've heard it and they agree. Like, what are the practical steps that people can take from this point in order to step in and become part of the conversation and also to use their influence wherever they are to extend the conversation?
Yeah, well, I think, I mean, part of that is they're in their own realm of starting that conversation. And there's going to be some more, and I'm maybe going to ping it to Ellie to say about getting more of the resources, but we're putting together a whole press kit of how to have the signing event or how to have a gathering around this topic. And obviously those are starting as English-based resources, but through our World Without Networks network and other connections that we have, our goal is to get this as widely translated as possible. And you'll notice on the website, and obviously I know your audience right now is English speakers, but if you go to the website, you will see a list of languages, and that's in the process right now of even being updated and expanded so that people can use this globally, because as you indicated, it is the global church pledge. So I think even if it was a U.S., if this is a U.S. listener, listening from their perspective and their church, they could first ask the question, okay, is this something my church can get behind? Can we, or is this where we're at? And then if we're partnering with a church in, say, Nicaragua, or we have a partnership in Haiti, is this something that we can bring to the church we partner with and say, hey, Can we sign this together? And what does this mean for you? So I think it is, again, Ellie's always so great at saying it is what you make of it. You know, this can be, it literally can be, I signed a website, which is not what we want it to be, but that's what it could be. Or it can be the launching pad of your national movement or your citywide movement to say, we want to see things different for children in our community.
Yeah, I think there's a couple of things that I think are helpful in understanding why a pledge, like what, why is a pledge really going to do anything? And like I told, like Karen said, is it really doesn't do anything without people behind it that are inviting people to it and then journeying with them beyond it. And that's many of the people who listen to this podcast, I know because they're my friends, are doing this work and they have something to invite people into. And this is an opportunity. The hope is it brings momentum around what already exists. And so, you know, the pledge can do a couple of things. I think one, it helps people feel like a part of something much bigger. Much, much bigger. If you look at the logos that are on the website, if you see the people who are signing, this movement is not, I often will go talk to people in a room of 30 or 40 and they're like, who are you to tell me this, you know, and to say like, this is not Ellie. This is a whole movement of people that are behind this, the whole movement of the church. So it can help people feel like something bigger. It brings validity to a message that can sometimes be hard. So doing work in a specific place, you know, the opportunity to advocate with churches or with even with the government to say, you know, what I've been saying is what the global church is saying here. Look, see, we're a part of this bigger movement. And the last, actually, personally, I didn't realize this until recently, but the last like 10 years, I've always thought if only people knew like how many people think about this and are working on this and that are a part of this, they would be more open to the conversation. Because I'm often talking to people who this is the first time they've heard this idea of family-based care. So I think it brings validity. It also creates something that I used to call peer pressure, but now I call it positive peer pressure because I learned that in the World Without Orphans training recently. It creates that social pressure and I'm learning more about social change. All social change, it doesn't happen one by one. People don't change in isolation. They change when they look around and there's other people changing and they're like, oh, I probably should change too. So it creates this kind of social pressure, but hopefully a positive pressure, and helps people to make some of those behavior changes earlier on. And then even in behavior change, right, there's the theory of behavior change is like, what is it? Pre-contemplation, contemplation, decision, and I don't know, whatever. I'm messing this up. But there is a point where decision has to be made. And so this tool can be helpful at that decision point. It's a point where someone goes from, huh, really? To, you know what? I'm in, I'm gonna do this. And if that means I'm gonna join World Without Orphans leadership team, if that means I'm gonna start funding, you know, some great organization, like I'm committed, I'm in. So there's a lot of ways you can use it. There's a lot of examples we're already hearing of people using it to bring together church leaders in their community to help, you know, advocate to say the faith community here believes in this. And as a government, we need you to do this or that. Bringing together donors that, you know, trying to bring donors along with a vision you have for short-term missions, rallying churches. There's a lot of different ways people are starting to use it.
Yeah. So I have another question, but before I ask, I want to make sure you have nothing else to ask, Ellie, because, you know, you've kind of, you know.
So.
Oh, okay.
You go
all right.
Ahead.
All right.
Allow.
Just making sure. I just wanted to check in on you. Yeah, I just want to make sure that the audience understands. For those who don't know where this Global Church Pledge came from, you know, I have a couple questions I want to ask. But the first one really goes to, it just didn't come out of Ellie sitting in her office with a couple other people and just saying, hey, here's what the pledge needs to say this. Let's just put it out there and get some people to sign it that are our cronies, and then we're just going to get it out there and then have everyone follow this thing. Right. So how did it come together? You know, and I obviously know since I was there, but are part of it anyway, not at the very beginning. But I know that you and Krish Kandaya and some other folks talked about something and then some other things happened. And so can you just kind of give the timeline, so to speak, of the Global Church Pledge?
Yeah, well, I mean, it started way before that. And, you know, for the last few years, several kind of members of this family care movement have been talking about a need for some sort of unifying statement. And Ruslan, who's leading World Without Orphans at the time, Sarah, who's leading Faith to Action, Rebecca Knepp, others kind of really talked about it a couple of years, I guess that was 5 years ago. But it wasn't really, it didn't really start taking action until 1 year ago. 1 year ago, December 19th, well, actually, I think it was November, but December 19th is when the resolution came through. That was when the UN said that they were going to focus their Rights of the Child resolution on family care. And that is a big deal. That was a very big deal. So a group of us came together in New York during the United Nations General Assembly meetings. Phil was there. And we talked about how can we together, like, is there something more we could do together than doing it separately to accelerate efforts to see Christians supporting safe and loving families around the world? There was 32 Christian organizations at that meeting. And we really, essentially the resolution was kind of further evidence for all of us that care reform was happening. Like, it's happening. This is real. Every single country in the world signed on to that resolution. And many people believe that this change is accelerating at a pace that we really haven't even seen before. So then we asked in that meeting, like, what is the church's role in care reform? And what can we do? Is there something we can do to see the church take a greater role in this work? And recognizing the shortfalls. The Barna research that's coming out, I think I mentioned earlier, it also found that 91% of US Christians think that orphanages are necessary. They're just a necessary thing that we live with. And 86% think they're good. They're a really good thing. So we know those things aren't necessarily true, that there are other options for kids, that there are other options that are showing better outcomes for kids. So there's room for the church to grow, and it felt like too big of a problem. And we had to come together to do it. So the biggest consensus, I think, you know, just at the top level of everybody's mind is that in that meeting in New York is that we have to work together. We to continue to wake up the church and call them to the work, to continue to call them, because they're already in this work, but to continue to call them to the support of family care. And there was a lot of different big ideas that came out of that meeting, Phil. You probably remember some of them are coming together in other ways. Some haven't come together yet. But overall, I think we needed something that united us, something that said, how do we all work together? What is it that we come under? And so that's what the pledge was really responding to.
Yeah, no, and that was a great gathering, because it was just so many different organizations, like you said earlier, big and small. I mean, mine's about as small as it gets, and there were some very, very large ones as well. And what I loved is it wasn't like the big dogs got there at the table and said, "Hey, we're the big dogs and we're going to tell you the way it is." No, everyone was an equal there, and that's the way it should be at the end of the day. Is, you know, we have our different ideas, we have our different skills, and sometimes the little ones are the ones that are able to do certain things because of the flexibility. And sometimes, obviously, the big ones have the resources and ability to, and the connections and the relationships usually, right? So it does take that team. It does take the group together. But as you said, that unifying, you know, what is our battle cry? You know, we as organizations say we really need that battle cry. We need that purpose statement, that mission, that vision that we're going to gather around. We're going to unify around. It's our center, so to speak. And if we're truly going to be a movement, then we got to have that battle cry that we know that this is success, right? If we're just getting a bunch of stuff done, but it's not going toward that battle cry, then what are we really doing, you know? And so, and like you said earlier, that, you know, being that it's the global church pledge and not just a global orphan care pledge, even, you know, it really does bring in that the context of, you know, what are we doing here in the kingdom building? What does that look like as well? So with that, you know, the really the last kind of question before, we're not going to do two questions like we normally do, because you guys have already answered that one, and I don't want to put you on the spot again about one person. But before we get to that question, most people know, if you haven't listened to the show, then you're going, what is that question? We'll try to put off your suspense and you're wondering what that question is for a minute here, because I want to talk with you guys a little bit about really the future plans of, you know, the Faith to Action World Without Orphans and what you're hoping other organizations have. Really, you know, we talked a little bit of how organizations can use the pledge, but you talked about things you're working on. You talked about some of the other things that are going on. And folks, you know, all this will be out, not all of it, a lot of this will be out when this airs. So if you go to the show notes, you can get all the resources that, you know, we're talking about here that are available. We'll have those links on the show notes. So just go to thinkorphan.com and you can click on this episode and you can find out all these, you know, find all these resources there. So that's really, will be one-stop shopping for you. Given that we're recording this right before Christmas, one-stop shopping would be really nice if we could have that. But really, what are those future plans to use the pledge, the relationships created from it? As you said, it's a conversation starter, but we want it to start conversations to do what? And what is that hope for it? Really to further the great work that's already going on and that hopefully will continue going on that we know about around the world.
Well, I don't want to end without saying some of the practical things we need. Just to start there. But I mean, if you haven't signed the pledge, you can sign online. If you represent an organization, go into your organization and see if that's something you could put your logo on, because that's really exciting when we can say, you know, this organization is willing to get behind this. You can sign it as an individual. You can sign it as a church, an organization. It's all on globalchurchpledge.org. It's easy. There's a translate button if you would rather have it in a different language and all of that. Also, more importantly, is take a second after you turn off this podcast and think about, could this pledge be helpful in what I'm doing? You know, for example, we have, we continue to engage the U.S. church, and we often have a hard time with churches that are like really doing great work and are just, you know, not sure how they engage in this work, because, you know, they're doing good work on the ground. What else do you want me to do? And so we're considering inviting some of those bigger churches that have influence on other churches and other Christians with great speakers to put your name behind it. And that's just a way that Faith to Action is thinking strategically about how to use the pledge. Karen mentioned we have a promotional toolkit that is up there, and it has like examples of different ways people are using the pledge. It has the logo and it has the video you can use. Anything really that will help you think about, maybe you want to do a launch event, a virtual launch event, or in-person launch event. we did one in DC before coronavirus came, and it was an incredible moment for church leaders in the US to come together and to sign something. And, you know, it's so easy for us to bicker over little stuff, but for us to find something to come together on that unifies us. So there's stuff like that. And also, if you can translate the pledge, the two sentences, we'd love to get that. So those are just some practical things. I can let Karen jump in on some of the bigger pieces. But ultimately, I mean, it is about utilizing the pledge and also finding ways for it to bring us together so that we can bring others along with us. Let's continue to grow. Let's have a meeting, a conference. Let's come together in this specific country and find ways that will unify us. We come together because we all agree with this. Now, where do we go from here?
Yeah, and I think that I would add again, I think the heart and the core DNA of World Without Orphans is collaboration and bringing the church and government and NGO and all these sectors together to solve each nation's orphan crisis in their own country. And so again, I see the Global Church Pledge as a piece of that puzzle. It's a piece that marries really nicely with some of the other resources that we have in our World Without Orphans roadmap. And so we just see this as a really nice addition to that. And so I'll give a little plug for that. If you want to go on our website as well, to worldwithoutorphans.org and see our roadmap resource, which also just has some great ideas for the church coming together and starting those collaboration conversations. And another exciting resource that we have already available, but we're also going to be kind of launching and pushing it more in January, and I think it goes really well with the Global Church Pledge, is this Church Leaders Guide. And throughout the pandemic over the last 7-8 months, we've partnered really closely with Parenting for Lifelong Health and developed taking some of the parenting tips that they were pushing during COVID, but actually revamping that all geared at church leaders. And so as I've been chatting more about the Global Church Pledge and also working with some of our team on this Church Leaders Pack, we really just see it as like this awesome thing that we can hand to church leaders around the world and say, hey, you can talk about this global church pledge, and you can also see ways that you can help at-risk families either in your church or in your community and wrap around. Because again, I mean, we want this to be a tool to see they have people in their midst, right? This isn't, especially when we look at the global church and even here in the US, this isn't about looking far away. It's looking within your own neighborhood, your own city, your own region, whatever that looks like, to say, how can we help the vulnerable children, you know, or the vulnerable families that are being impacted right now?
Yeah, no, that's great. And I want to just say one more thing, is that it really, you talk about it's only two sentences, but that's actually, I think, where the brilliance of it is that it's only two sentences, right? I mean, the idea of In Pursuit of Orphan Excellence was to frame a conversation for people around this, a lot of the, how do we get families into this setting that we normally didn't have families, right? But that's 200 and something pages, right, to have that. But I really think that this pledge has been so wonderfully crafted to really start that conversation and to be able to frame that conversation in two sentences, which is, you know, really, I think, attesting to the people that have come together and the people that are involved with it. And I say that not because I was in that room, but I wasn't really involved with the crafting of it. So I want to make that very clear. Like, I'm not tooting my own horn here. I think there are some people that have put a lot of work into making this a statement that, and it was, you know, a long conversation about it. Like, what words and what's important, what's critical, what's, you know, why are we doing this? And so I want to just say, folks out there, you know, don't like say, oh, it's just something like Ellie said, you know, or Karen, I can't remember which one you said. Don't just go and sign it and go check the box, done. No, really study this pledge and go, do I understand this? Do I understand what they're talking about? Do I understand why this is important, or why this is, it's, you know, it might seem to you like, of course, this is basic stuff. But obviously it's not just simple basic stuff, or else, well, some of it's simple, it's just not easy, because it's not happening right now. So I think that's something to just, as you're engaging this, folks, to really, if you don't understand it, send an email to the people that say, if you have questions, send an email to. Ask the questions. There is no dumb question, because these are things that, as you said, what the numbers, 90-something percent, 80-something percent of people, you know, think orphanages are really good things. And, you know, and sometimes, in the very exception of the rule, it's necessary for certain kids in certain places. But for the most part, you know, we're going to get kids into families that are permanent, long-term, biological, ideally, but other, you know, families that we can get kids into. So anyway, I just wanted to say that because it was really encouraging to me to see it coming together, because as I was in that room, you know, a little over a year ago, to see how it's coming to fruition and go, man, this is going to be really cool. And we are also seeing, as you've heard on the show with other guests that we've had, that there is this really groundswell of work together that people are doing, and it's really exciting time to be a part of all this. So all right, Rick, you're up.
All right, so we've kind of come to that point in our podcast where you know, we've talked a lot about the pledge, and we've talked about the collaboration that can happen around that, but we are now kind of at the place where we're going to ask that question, right? And really, it's rooted in the fact that you know, part of being a part of this community is really listening to and growing from the things we hear from each other. So, Ellie, I'm gonna ask you first. But what is one thing that you've read, watched, or listened to recently that's really informed your thinking about how we can love orphan and vulnerable children with excellence?
I don't know how many times I have bought books and watched videos and things like that because I listen to this podcast and I'm like, if they say it, I got to do it. So I think this might have been, I actually have it right here. I'm actually not quite finished. It's a really, it's one of those books that you're like writing notes all over, but it's called Systems Thinking for Social Change. Somebody else might have already recommended it on this show. It says, a practical guide to solving complex problems, avoiding unintended consequences, and achieving lasting results. sounds great, right? We just read that book and we got it all fixed. No, but there's some really good stuff. And one of the things Faith to Action, I think, is kind of prioritizing in the next year or two in regards to new guidance. You know, we have a lot of things that we have, but is really helping the church and helping Christians think through what we call like a systems mindset. But we're not going to use that word because that's a scary, weird sounding word. But just going, and Rebecca Knepp said it at the World Without Orphans Forum. She said, you know, going into orphan care is not, you know, a buffet line where you look and you see, whoa, I could do that, or I could do that thing, or I could do foster care, or I could do an orphanage, or I could, but really you need to look at, you know, what is around that can support children? What are the problems that are affecting children? And how can I link to things that allow this not just to be about me, but to be about a whole system that can, in the long-term, care well for children? And so this Systems Thinking for Social Change book is really helping me put language to some of that, and is really, I think, something that comes from the social change world. But I think we're kind of doing a social change, so I think it's important for us to be aware of that knowledge in that world.
Awesome. Karen, what about it? What have you listened? Yeah, or, I knew you knew it was coming.
I also knew. I knew, and I can't repeat what I said last time since it's been 6 months since we talked last, so I need to be reading something new. Well, and I actually saw, so I'm reading this book. This book was sent to me, and I saw that you interviewed him recently, and I also have it by me, but the As Many as the Stars by Robert Glover. So I saw he was in your podcast lineup. I haven't listened to the interview. Oh, look at Phil's got his copy next to him too. But I just, I'm halfway through, and I have to say, as a storyteller myself, and just somebody who really gravitates, and I've known Robert Glover professionally and have interacted with him in a professional space, but I did not know a lot of his personal journey and just how God spoke so clearly and moved in so many miraculous ways to get him to China at the time and place. And so I think I've just been riveted by his story to see that God moved, you know, heaven and earth to get him there, and then just to see, I'm just at the very beginning in terms of where he's impacting the changes in the system, you know, so the practical side of what Ellie's just referencing, but this just being someone's story of really coming in and changing a system, but seeing how God really used him. So I've been very impacted by this book. I've just like kind of chunked away chapter at each night, but I'm really, really enjoying that book.
Are you sure the two of you didn't talk? Because really, like, that's, we sort of have the theory and then the story to validate it. Like it's right there together. That's awesome. And so, wow.
We're just in sync.
Absolutely. That's awesome.
And can I give props before we leave? There's a facilitation team of people that are working on the Global Pledge. Karen and I are on that, but there's an awesome group, Out of Home for Good. I think you've had Rebecca Patterson on this group before. She's done so much work. She did that video. There's a lot of people that have put input into this Global Church Pledge. I just want to give all the credit to people who've been working really hard on it, but I'm honored to be able to have a piece of it because I think it is powerful and I'm excited to see what
it does. I think it's really exciting. Karen, there's a little, you know, dirty little secret of this show is if you haven't finished the book, you don't tell people you haven't finished the book yet. You just you recommend it as if you finished it.
Podcast, I'm a truth teller.
Yes, today. I know. Well, I didn't. It's not telling the truth. It's just saying I recommend it.
I'm always worried something at the end's like really bad.
They already interviewed the guy on the show. They must be endorsing the book themselves. So.
I'm just kidding. I'm kidding, and I'm not kidding all at the same time. And then Ellie, it's funny because we mentioned Brandon Stiver earlier. That was Brandon Stiver recommendation when he was in the middle of his master's program, I believe. He actually read that book in
now
his master's program.
Now you say that, I'm pretty sure I listened to that episode and bought
the
book.
Yep, you probably did. I'm sure you did. And then Rebecca Knepp talked about
Thanks, Brandon.
And Rebecca talked about systems theory at the World Without Orphans. So it's just come, you know, it's full circle. So it's fun stuff. So again, love having you two on. So much fun. As you folks can tell out there, we had a lot of fun with this. Respect both of you very, very much. Love doing this work with both of you. And just thank you for all you're doing. Thanks for taking the time to be a part of this. And we're just very, very excited to get this out to folks so they can learn from it.
Thank you so much, guys.
Well, thanks again to Ellie and Karen. Again, Rick, so much fun. I love those two women. Just fantastic to be able to work with them, to be able to learn from them and just to do this stuff with them, you know, is a blast. And it's exciting to see how God is moving to bring organizations together. Quite frankly, a lot of them, you'd never think that they'd work together. I mean, she didn't go down the list, but when you see this Global Church Pledge and all the different organizations that are a part of it, and now you'll be able to do that when you're listening to this. The pledge will be fully released and launched, and all this stuff will be, you'll be able to get at our website at the thinkorphan.com show notes here. So, but Rick, what did you think of it? What did you think of it?
Yeah, I mean, you know, Phil, I think, you know, just on the face of it, I mean, the idea that, you know, God created family for children is an idea that we all embrace, and it's something that we, you know, believe deeply in. And I think the genius in this is the simplicity, just a very simple statement that says, you know, family is something, you know, from God, and that God has, you know, has ordained, the family and the church, and a statement that's, you know, that's kind of built around those two ideas is something that we, you know, definitely should embrace. And so I'm just very thankful for Karen and for Ellie and for their, you know, for their great work in so many different areas, and obviously have been impacted by both of them. But just really thankful for their leadership in this effort. And I think there's not a whole lot more left to be said, except, go check out the statement and really, you know, prayerfully consider how your church, your organization, anybody that you're affiliated with, that you can, you can begin to embrace the ideals that are, you know, that are represented in the statement by claiming the statement.
Yeah. You know, I think that at the end of the day, for me, anything that is for unity and unifying organizations and bringing people together, bringing organizations together to do work together and to simplify that process as much as possible is something I'm for, you know. And as long as it's something that is consistent with, obviously, consistent with what we're doing and what we are, what our mission is to help orphan and vulnerable children to flourish and children and families to flourish around the world, that is something that, you know, I think, you know, you and I both, we talk about it all the time on this show. Like, that's why we're doing this show, is to help children and families flourish. And it's why we do what we do in our homes. And it's why we are seeking to, you know, work with other organizations and working so hard to collaborate with other organizations, not just, you know, check the box and say, oh, we connected with somebody, so we're done. Mm-hmm. No, it's how do we actually work together to build the kingdom together? And what does that look like? And, you know, and that's something that I see this as a step toward, as consistent with that conversation. And it's something that in isolation is not going to do anything, as they said, as Ellie said. If all you do is sign a piece of paper and you check the box and you're done, that's not going to do anything. But right, in conjunction with, as we've talked in the past, a collective where we can get organizations trained up in all the things that they need to do. If we get it in the context and in connection with World Without Orphans and Christian Alliance for Orphans and all the work that our organizations are doing, and we have this pledge that basically acts as, you know, for lack of a better term, the purpose statement for this collective work that we're doing together, that encompasses and really is this broad statement that encompasses what all of our organizations are doing and all our individual mission statements and vision statements and everything, that at the end of the day, it's, you know, it's kind of one step short of, you know, we're building the kingdom, right? And that's,
yeah,
and that's, I think, gives a little bit more something to grab onto, which is fantastic in my opinion.
Yeah, I think, you know, at the end of the day, the statement is sufficiently, you know, specific to have meaning, but it's intentionally broad enough to, you know, to really allow us to, you know, to be able to embrace it and cooperate. And it's just, yeah, it's just very well done. So I hope our, you know, our friends out there will go check it out, sign it, pledge it, you know, hold it up as one of those things, and that you refer to often as you're, you know, as you're thinking about and evaluating the things that you do in ministry, and thinking about and evaluating how you cooperate and collaborate with others in how you accomplish ministry together.
So
good stuff.
Yeah. With that, folks, I think it's ready. It's, you know, we're ready. It's time for us to sign off another episode. You know, I will say, as we're signing out, there is a great book that I'm in the middle of. And I did this in honor of Karen Springs, just honestly saying she did not finish the book that she recommended. And I am going to say that I am recommending a book based on the author. James Montgomery Boyce is the author of this book, and he wrote this book, Two Cities, Two Loves. And I'm also, you know, piggybacking on the recommendation of Alistair Begg. And if he's going to recommend a book, I don't think I'm going to regret recommending it to you either. And I've already started reading this. It's a fantastic book, Two Cities, Two Loves. It's basically Boyce brings the Augustine City of God to a modern day understanding. And so it's really the reason I bring it up in this episode is it's really talking about the kingdom of God versus the kingdom of man. And if we're truly going to be doing this kingdom work, we need to know that we are in the kingdom of God. We are citizens of the kingdom of God, not the kingdom of man. And in that kingdom of God, it is an upside down kingdom where these kids, these vulnerable kids, these families that are suffering, the poverty, the oppressed, the sick, the poor, they are the ones that are at the core of heart, the God, you know, God's heart. And we are to love them. I mean, that is what we are to do. And if we are following God, if we are in the kingdom of God, that will be our heart. And we talk about that in Pursuit of Orphan Excellence. And we're talking about it here. And it's something that I firmly believe. And it's something that I hope, you know, as the more and more you look into this, the more and more you study Scripture, the more and more you get involved in this work, the more you realize that this is the core of God's heart. So I do hope and pray that you take everything that you're learning, everything that you heard today, everything that you're hearing from all these episodes, from these books that you're reading. I love that Ellie recommended a book that was from one of our former episodes, and as was Karen's. And those are things that just excite me, because I do hope and pray that you're taking everything that you're learning from this show and you're using it to help you understand how you can love orphan and vulnerable children better and better each and every day. Thanks a lot. Have a great week.
We hope you've enjoyed today's Think Orphan podcast. For all the information in this week's podcast, please visit us at thinkorphan.com. You too can be part of the conversation. Send your questions to info@thinkorphan.com or join us on the Think Orphan Facebook page. Thanks for listening, and we hope you'll join us again on the next edition of Think Orphan.
When you drive a vehicle so reliable it's backed by a 10-year, 100,000-mile limited warranty, you stop thinking about what you can't do and start doing what you never thought possible. Visit your local Kia dealer today to see what you're capable of in a vehicle that inspires confidence around every corner. Kia, movement that inspires.
Call 800-333-4KIA for details. Always drive safely. Limited inventory available. Warranties include 10-year, 100,000-mile powertrain and 5-year, 60,000-mile basic. Warranties are limited. See retailer for details.
The first taste of rare bourbon you finally got your hands on. That's nice. At Caskers.com, we make this experience easy. Caskers is a one-stop spirit curator with an impressive selection of exclusive, sought-after, rare, and household names in the realm of premium spirits and champagne. Discover the top flavors of the year now by going to Caskers.com and using code WELCOME10 for $10 off your first purchase. Get $10 off your first purchase with code WELCOME10 at Caskers.com.